Welcome to Banana Bites. In this segment of the podcast, we go live on Dataiku's LinkedIn and Twitter every other week to talk to you about the latest in data science and AI. Our 15-minute bites are here to fuel your afternoon snack time with easy-to-digest food for thought.
Hi, welcome to Banana Bites. I'm Trevaini, and we've got Corey and Chris. We are the Banana Data podcast crew. We have a regular podcast that comes out every other week, wherever you listen to podcasts, where we talk about fun data science, serious data science, wacky data science, every kind in between. But today on our Banana Bites, we're going to have a little bit more fun convo type of thing. So I'll turn it over to Corey to take us away.
Thanks, Trevaini. Today's topic is data tools that we're grateful for. If you're grateful for the Banana Data podcast, we recommend that you subscribe to it. Just show us how grateful you actually are. And if you have any questions, or if you just want to comment how thankful you are coming with this holiday, everyone is thankful for something. Comment, ask us a question, ask us what we're thankful for. We're going to explain it to you shortly. But you know, if you guys have any questions around that, we'll be able to answer it. Or if you're interested in, like, you know, playing a game or something, just, you know, comment. That's an inside joke from before we started recording. If you want to get on the inside, how the sausage is made here. Chris, do you want to take it off? Sure. With the data tools that you are grateful for?
Yeah, sure. So when I was thinking about this, I took it back to like the things that I may take for granted today in my day to day as a data scientist. And one thing that popped into mind, I know it might be a little bit dry at first, but is version control. I remember, you know, doing projects in high school or even in college and like not having the ability to, for example, open up a Google Doc and like collaborate with other people on the same document. And right now that, you know, whether you're a data scientist and you're coding and you're using Git and GitHub, or if you're using version control in the Dataiku DSS, what that allows you to do is kind of take a little bit of risks, maybe write a function or make a really large change just to see which happens. But then you always have the history of your document or your code or your project that you could always fall back upon just in case something goes wrong. And yeah, you know, having that tool now is a lot helpful for that exploration. And in the past, something that I may have taken for granted in current times.
Yeah, it's funny you say that as like a collaboration thing, mm-hmm. because for me, it's like a checkpoint for my own dumb mistakes thing, where it's like, I tried to do this and I broke everything, quick revert, and has nothing to do with other people even. Mm-hmm. It's just me like preventing myself. So I totally hear you on that one, Chris.
I could just say that I just remember when I was a young lad in school and I was writing a paper and I didn't have version control. So I thought I would save things and then I didn't save them. And then I would lose half of them. And then I would have breakdowns and then I would have to rewrite it again. If only we had version control way back when in the early aughts.
Or autosave.
Yeah, that would have been really helpful.
I think we had something called a save button back then, but we'll let that one slide, Core. Talk about something I'm really grateful for. And it's a little funny. I didn't really think I'd ever say this, but I'm actually really grateful for APIs, right? APIs being these ways you can communicate and get data from different websites or different places. And it comes to mind because I was recently doing something with sort of sentiment analysis of news. And a lot of these news APIs make you pay, but the New York Times lets you download information or pull back information with a free API. And I thought that was really cool. And I'm really, really grateful for that capacity to be able to like develop and build out my skills as a data scientist, my practice, and like incorporate different kinds of data because of APIs like the New York Times or others.
Even for someone like me who doesn't really have much data science experience or knowledge, I'm actually grateful for three things. First, I'm grateful for my Roomba, which uses algorithms and AI to map out sections of my apartment to get that perfect clean. I no longer have to vacuum it. Ricky will vacuum for me. Ricky, of course, being the name of my Roomba. And he sets the schedule. He knows what to do. It's just, it's very self-sufficient. And it's nice to not have to worry about something as mundane as having to vacuum and having that kind of, having AI to really assist in that process. Another thing I'm grateful for is an AI tool that one of our producers, Chloe, actually turned me on yesterday when I was trying to edit an interview I was doing on my own. It's called Otter AI. And essentially what it is that if you record something, like, for example, this banana bite, you can upload the recording and the AI will actually develop a transcript for you. And then other things do that, like Zoom does that, for example. But the difference, the key difference here is that you're able to edit and highlight the various different aspects of the words be able to have like the timestamps and note, like, need to edit here. Here's the timestamp. You can actually edit the transcript itself. To be able to produce like a relatively clean transcript. So that's a really interesting tool, especially for someone who might be interested in recording or having some sort of audio podcast interview type series or something like that, for all you podcast aspired people who want to, who are inspired by the Banana Data podcast and want to start their own podcast, for example. And then finally, drum roll, please.
Oh boy.
Kubernetes.
Ooh.
Right?
Why are you grateful for Kubernetes?
Right? Kubernetes, right? I just, that is the buzzword of the year. I think, like, if you're looking, like, you know how, like, people do, like, the color of the year or stuff like that? I think, like, the data science word of the year is Kubernetes. I really strongly believe that. Kubernetes is, especially, I mean, maybe because I'm relatively new to the industry, but I feel like it's, and because of my search algorithms and my search history, I'm being fed a lot of ads about, like, Kubernetes and how Kubernetes works on various platforms and what you can use it for. But just in case people who don't know, I mean, Kubernetes, also known as K8s, it's an open source platform automating deployment and scaling and management of containerized applications. If you came here to learn more about what Kubernetes is and how it functions, this probably isn't the podcast for you, unfortunately. The good news, however, and the reason why I'm grateful for it is because what really interested me is that, like, in terms of a backend application, a lot of tools such as Data IQ, for example, can run on top of it. And it was just like, it seems like a really powerful platform. So I was just interested in learning more about it and researching more about it. And I just want to give a shout out. I'm grateful for Kubernetes website and the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, because they have a lot of wonderful basic resources that will educate you and provide basic tutorials on how to use it, what it does, building your containers, going on the UI of it. And so it's just really interesting to learn about. But I mean, yeah, Trevaini, what's your experience like with Kubernetes?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because I remember that I had like a good experience actually with Kubernetes this year, which is not what I thought I would say. It was actually Spark on Kubernetes. I had to do this huge project with a group of folks that required running, preparing and cleaning and all this stuff, plus modeling on like millions of records and very wide columns, as always, or wide data sets. And so we ended up doing this with Spark over Kubernetes, and we did it through Data IQ. So I literally did not have to do any annoying configurations and testings and blah. Our field engineer set it up, made sure everything was working, turned the cluster over, or like turn the cluster on, and then was like, go play. And it was so seamless. I just like changed the engine, do it on Spark. It's going to run in the cluster. Bada bing, bada boom, beautiful stuff. The project wasn't great because our models weren't good, but that's not the fault of Kubernetes. But I have to say it was so seamless and so effortless. Now I want to work with big data because like it's so easy to just click and go and like focus on the things that you need to focus on and let tools like Data IQ abstract it all away, the crazy stuff away.
What tools are you grateful for, audience? If you have any, please put comment or ask us any questions about some things that we talked about or anything that you that we may have missed. Obviously, we're not going to cover everything that we're grateful for. So if you have any ideas, any tools that you've learned in the last year or two that are real lifesavers for you, please let us know. We'd be interested in learning more about it.
So I know before I mentioned a tool like version control, but something else that I'm kind of grateful for is more of like the research process or this iterative process that I think is underscored in the data science field. I think it also in high school and college, most of the math classes and statistics classes you take, there's always a right answer. There's always like a bottom line of this is the right answer. Here's the number 42. That's, you know, we're going with that. But whether it's, you know, generating research questions of interest or refactoring your code or doing A/B testing, there's always an iterative process about asking the right questions of your data and finding, you know, bits and pieces that lead you in another direction that opens up the door for lots of other questions and so on and so forth. And even just as we, you know, create our episodes for the podcast or even talk about what we're going to talk about in the Bytes, something that I've been grateful for is working with this team and educating myself about the data science space and doing that research with this team. So just a shout out to the five of us on this podcast and Chloe and Anna in the background as well.
I'm going to go boil some macaroni to go with that cheese.
Hey, that's great for Thanksgiving dinner.
It is. I'm actually making mac and cheese tomorrow for my crew.
Save some for me.
Yeah. Well, I do want to shout out one other like kind of nifty thing that I didn't think I would, but I recently got an iPad plus the pencil and been running around writing notes and painting things. And I've really come to appreciate and I'm grateful for this translation of handwritten text into text, like into like printed text. And it's super helpful for my notes, for my like organization, note taking. I can even search and it like auto converts it into like printed text that I can search in Google for me. And I think that's, I don't know, I just think it's really cool because I still like the feeling of being able to write, but I also am able to like interface with things that are not typed. And I think it's a really fun little bit.
Yes. The deep learning that's involved in that is so non-trivial. I actually remember using, I was in Paris for Dataiku onboarding a while ago and using a Google Translate app to look at the menu and translate it to English that I could understand. That was so fascinating and you know, very nifty tool.
Yeah, these advances in computer vision are quite interesting. I think it's just a matter of, again, like we've talked about on this podcast and this show a lot, is how is it being used, right? Mm-hmm. Who's using it? Who's testing it and developing it? And is it inclusive in that way? Mm-hmm. So, which again, reminds me of another thing I'm grateful for. Wow, I have a lot to be grateful for.
Love it.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk? You know, recently we've seen an explosion in sort of the discussions around responsible AI, mm-hmm. ethics, ethical tech, all of that great stuff. And I think documentaries like Coded Bias and books like Data Feminism and mm-hmm. plenty of other work by some really strong and excellent researchers, I'm really thankful for that because I think they're really bringing this conversation to the forefront, not only in a very like big news splashy way, but also, okay, how are we going to get down to brass tacks? How are we going to actually accomplish this? And so I'm grateful to sort of our community, the data science machine learning community, really taking this step forward.
And it goes without saying that we're all thankful for Dataiku and DSS as a platform. I know that we have a lot of fun here on the podcast and in the Bytes, but our day jobs are revolved around working within the DSS platform. And it's just I've learned so much and it's such an incredible and powerful tool. If you guys haven't experienced it yet, I recommend that you could download it. But if not, just, you know, take our word for it. It's just, it's really great. And I just wanted to make sure that we acknowledged Dataiku because if it wasn't for DSS, we wouldn't have a Banana Data podcast.
That's true.
Very true.
Well, I think that's a pretty good set of things to be grateful for. I'm going to go and probably get my turkey in the oven. Just kidding. I'm not making a turkey. No. But I am going to eat a lot of food tomorrow. And I hope that you all and our viewers who are based in the United States will as well. If you're outside of the United States, I hope you eat a lot of food also. But you probably won't be off, so don't take a nap after.
Oh.
We'll see you guys in a few weeks' time and hope you all stay safe. Bye, everybody. Everyone.
And that's all we have for our Banana Bytes today. To catch our live segments, follow Dataiku on LinkedIn or Twitter for bi-weekly live streams.